السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم, and welcome once again to Radio Islam on Media Wave 1548. And yes, it is time now for our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, and we have Mufti Sahib online now. Inshallah, we'll be taking our first callers in the few minutes time. Just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 854-1548. You can email us on air at radioislam.co.za. And our cell phone number for tonight is 082-356-5988. That number once more, 082-356-5988. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahib?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Mafa for phoning you so late tonight.
Inshallah, I think next week we go 8 o'clock, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, Jazakumullah Mufti Sahib for joining us. Going on to the first question tonight, listeners. We have the first question going out to Mufti Sahib for today. In Islam, is it permissible for a male or female to color or dye their hair? And if not, then what shall a wife do if she requests her husband to dye his hair that is white to black? Is this haram or not?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, that there are separate rules applicable for men and women in Islam. Obviously, the role of men is different from the role of women. Responsibilities are different, duties are different, and laws are also different for the men and women. Now, for the men and women, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given a broad guideline wherein the mafhum of the hadith is that for men, beautification lies in smell, and for women, beautification lies in color. So now we have got this very beautiful principle in front of us that females, alhamdulillah, they should indulge themselves in color for beautification, and men in ether, fragrance, permissible perfumes. But unfortunately, the age is such, it's like upside down, tipsy-turvy, that females are loading themselves with perfume, etc., and coming out of their homes, and men are putting so much color on themselves that you sometimes find in the bazaars, person walking around with four color head and walking around, and all part of fashion. So Shariat has warned against this, and we should stick to it. So the men and women, they can apply dye. The men, all dyes besides black. Now if you get a brown, dark brown dye, then the female in this case, she'll be happy with that because she wants her husband to look a little bit young. So generally we have seen the elders put red dye. And in this case they can put dark brown dye, she'll feel happy. And for the female, yes, she can dye for the pleasure of the husband. And color is for her, fragrance for the men. Jazakallah.
For that answer. Going on to the next question now. A person asks, can we make dua for death? A person who has tremendous problems in his life and cannot solve each of them on his or her own. Can this certain person ask for mort or for death?
In fact, in Bukhari, this discussion has taken place, and this situation has arisen. And the questioner, obviously, and many others who are listening, may feel that I'm under so much difficulty, I'd rather die. May feel that I am under so much stress and so depressed that I prefer death. Or may feel as if to say the ceiling has fallen upon my head, I must die. Or may feel that there is tremendous pressure on me, I'd rather die. Or may feel that I've got such an ailment and sickness that I must rather die. But in Islam, this is not the attitude of any Muslim. Islam is that deen that is preaching, propagating, practicing, promoting positiveness. We should be all the time positive and make best of the worst situation. And we should make dua to Allah Jalla Majdahu that Ya Allah, whatever is khair, whatever is good for me, let that happen. So you make dua to Allah and let Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, obviously Allah has got the final say, but we should let the matter rest in the hands of Allah, and also that we should not be despondent. لا تقتطوا بالرحمة الله. Do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Over the weekend I met a man 74 years old in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and he told me that Mufti Sahib, that the doctors who told me I will live 2 years only, I personally buried them. And those who said I got 2 months to live, I also have buried them. And I am still alive. And he was very jovial and very positive. So we should also adopt this positive attitude and not make dua for death.
JazakumAllah. So we have an SMS from a person who is saying that can Muslim adopt a child? Because the person says, I heard that Muslims cannot adopt children, but only can foster a child. Is this true or not?
Muslims can adopt the child. Once they adopt the child, they must understand the rules and regulations of the child. I presume when they talk of the word foster, meaning that they'll be able to fund that child and not officially regard the child as their own. Own meaning total guardianship, supervisionship. In Islam, there are rules of adoption. And the person who adopts, they should understand. For example, that yes, it is easier to adopt and then at a later stage, let them marry their off quickly so that the laws of hijab do not become difficult to practice upon. For example, the easiest method is to adopt the child before 2 years and let the wife breastfeed that baby, so that now by doing that act, then the laws of hijab will not be applicable and they will obviously fall out. They will fall away. Otherwise, if this is not done, then the law, by letter of the law, once the child becomes baligh, depends whether the child is male or female, then the laws of hijab will have to come into action. Obviously, if she is maybe adopted is a female, then on bulughiyat, on maturity, they'll make hijab from the father who is adopting the child, and vice versa. So to circumvent that, you do the breastfeeding. And also know that the adopted child will not get inheritance. And so you should cater for that in the will, because a man or a woman in the will, when they draw and draft out the will, Shariat allows the person 1/3 flexibility. That means if you divide the estate into 3/3, 1/3 the person can utilize for whatever purpose the person desires. So you take that 1/3 and give it to the adopted child, so that the adopted child is monetarily and financially covered for. So adoption is permissible. Understand the laws of adoption.
Going on to the next question, sir. A person says, can one read Jum'ah Sunnats after Asr? Can one read Jum'ah Sunnats after Asr Salah? Because this person says he has to get back to work as the Imam takes very, very long for the Jum'ah Salah.
In this case, remember something, that first of all, you should approach that Imam and request him that kindly make Jum'ah short, so that I can perform my sunnah, because I have to get back to work, and if I do not get back to work, then my job is jeopardized and there will be difficulties financially for me. So you should try first to approach the Imam. Secondly, failing which, the Imam says, no, that this is the pattern here. He should not quarrel about it. Thirdly, if he performs the sunnah after asr, then remember this is qaza. This is qaza which he is making of the sunnah which he is supposed to do after Jummah. But understand another rule in Sharia. Sharia in Salat, there is qaza for farz, that is obligatory salah. There is qaza for wajib, that means witr. According to Sharia, technically speaking, there is no qaza for sunnah. Yes, if a person does it, he will get tremendous, enormous reward for that. But there is no qaza for sunnah. Yes, there is qaza for nafil when you start it, then and you break it, then you have to make qaza of that nafil which you have started. And you broke it while performing it, then you have to make qaza for that. But there is no qaza for sunnah. If a person does it after asr with the niyat of qaza, he will get rewarded for that.
Jazakumullah Muftisar for that. Just to remind our listeners that our cell phone number for tonight is 0823565988. You can call in, our lines are open, 8541548, or email us on air@radioislam.co.za. Going on to the next question, Mufsab, is a stepson considered as a mahram to his stepmother?
Technically speaking, no. He is not considered as a mahram.
Okay. Jazakumullah Mufsab for that. Going on to the next question, if wudu is made and one decides to cut nails, does his wudu break due to some of the parts of the nails not getting washed or wet in wudu?
If a person has made wudu and then subsequently does various actions, for example, the person after wudu went and paired the nails, cut the nails as the questioner has posed, then the wudu does not break. The wudu does not become invalidated by the person cutting the nails after having a valid wuzu. Also, for example, if a person, he made wuzu and went and had a haircut. After having a haircut, the person's wuzu does not break. It's a different matter if he went to some person who does not know how to handle that machine properly, and in the process of cutting the person's hair, he chipped a part of the skin of the head and blood came out. That's a different issue. He should not be even going then to such a person who cuts hair. Thirdly, for example, if a person made wuzu and then he laughed aloud, wuzu does not break. And if a person, for example, went, he made wuzu and attended a qiraat jalsa, after that wuzu does not break. Why I mention this? Sometimes you people nowadays, they have got a fashion, new one coming up now, that they attend naat jalsas. We call this naat mehfils. And after that, your wuzu does not break. People are under the impression that wuzu breaks after haircut, which is not true. After cutting nails, which is not true. After listening to Quran, not true. After going to mehfil of majlis, not true. And after laughing loudly, not true.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that answer. Going on to the next question now, is it necessary for one giving ghusl to a mayyat to be in the state of wudu?
If a person has given ghusl to the mayyat and was not in the state of wudu, the ghusl to the mayyat is absolutely valid. However, the person, it is mustahab, good, preferable, liked, desirable, nice, if the person making the ghusl should be in the state of wuzu. Just like it is also preferable, mustahab, good, liked, nice, that after you have given ghusl to the dead person, deceased person, to make wuzu after that. So in both instances, it is mustahab. it is not a prerequisite. Obviously now, if you're going to make Salat al-Janazah, you have to be in the state of wuzu.
Jazakumullah Mufassab for that answer. Going on to the next question now, there are three partners in a business. If one of the partners decides to sell his personal property to the partnership, will this be permissible or not?
So you've got three partners in a business, right?
Gee.
And then one of them decides to do what?
To sell his personal business to somebody, to one of the other partners, or to the partnership. Can he do this or not?
So that means the one of the partners wants to sell his own private business, property, whatever, to the partnership or one of those partners. That's not permissible, that. Because, understand something, that these three are partners in, for example, building number A. They are partners of that. And partner number A, B, C, they are all partners and they own this building. But near this building, there is another building. And partner number A, he owns that building. That means he's owning the second building. And he wants to sell it to either B or C. This is a private, individual, separate transaction. He can do that. Or he wants to sell it to the partnership. That means he is like selling it indirectly to himself, because he is a partner in the first building, A, B, C. So he wants to sell it to himself and B and C. Basically, he himself will be paying pro rata towards the purchase of his own building. If B and C agree that they want to purchase that building from A and bring it into the consortium or syndicate, it is absolutely permissible. Gee.
JazakumAllah Mufassab for that. Going on to the next question, just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 854-1548. Our email address is onair@radioislam.co.za, and our cell phone number for tonight, 082-356-5988. The question we have in front of us here, Mufassab, is, can zakat be given to a non-Muslim?
Allah Ta'ala has designed the deen for the upliftment of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we should spend and where we should spend. The beauty of Islam is that, alhamdulillah, the deen of Islam is complete with all its minute details in place. And Islam is that deen which is full of peace, tranquility, and a well-wisher for the entire mankind. And Islam has stated that to help both the Muslim and the non-Muslim is highly laudable and rewardable. And has stated that zakat should be spent upon Muslims who are poor, needy, destitute, wayfarer, who are out in jihad or stranded, who are in debt, widow, often, who do not have the wealth of nisab. As far as those who have not accepted Islam and who are poor, then you utilize other funds to aid them, support them, uplift them financially, and definitely you will be rewarded by giving out your zakat in the correct places, and also by helping non-Muslims who are in dire straits.
JazakumAllah for that. Going on to the next question. A person says, Islamically you cannot cut your nails on a Tuesday or Wednesday night because it causes leprosy. What is the Shari'i ruling regarding this?
See, any person saying anything, we immediately, correctly should refer it to the ulama ikram. Because the ulama are those who can research it, check it, but before even you take the matter up, you should understand something. As a Muslim, as a Muslim who is getting Islamic education, you should query it by a simple statement that if you are saying you will get leprosy by paring the nails on Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever it is, what is the source? Where is the reference? And is it authentic? Who said it? When they said it? Under what circumstances they have said it? In which book it is written? Who is the author of the book? Can you give us the reference? Which page it is? Is there any backing from Quran, Hadith, Asar, Sahaba, statements of Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala, anhum ajma'in? As far as our knowledge, which is limited, is concerned, that we have not come across such a statement, and you can pare the nails whilst you are fasting, whilst you are in the state of wuzu, you can pare it in the night, you can pare it in the, you can cut it in the day, wherever you want. Only in Iran, only in the state of Iran, you cannot cut nails.
Jazakumullah. Going on to the next question now. A person says, does one need permission from his wife if he wants to remarry, or can he remarry without her permission?
Is the word remarry there, or is it second wife?
It's remarry.
The word is remarry.
Gee.
See now, if you read that question again, Maulana Hamad, see what he says?
Does one need permission from his wife if he wants to remarry?
You understand what's happening there? Now, how can he take permission if his wife is still his wife to remarry his own wife? So that is why I asked you whether the word has been used, remarry.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll answer from all directions now.
Okay. Jazakumullah, sir. Inshallah.
You understand? Understand that any question, Maulana Hamad, you have to, first of all, listen attentively. Secondly, you must read the text nicely. Thirdly, you must try to understand whether this person is asking this question correctly, or rephrase the question, or perhaps the person has not used the right word because does not have command over the language. So we'll give all scenarios. One is, for example, a person gave his wife divorce. He divorced his wife once. And now she sat in iddat, and she is, after iddat, free to remarry whomsoever she wants to. Yes, in this case now, he is calling his ex-wife wife, and he's saying, do I have to take permission to marry her? Yes, you have to take permission again now. Now you have to take permission to remarry her. And that is when that question will be applicable. Because now she has got freedom, she has got choice whether to take you as the husband, that means she'll be taking you as the husband for the second time. Now this will be applicable after one divorce or after two divorces and after the iddah period has expired. Obviously after the three divorces, the talaq and mughallaza, different laws apply. That is one. Secondly, let's replace the word remarry by stating that person wants to take a second wife. So there, the textbook will say, no, the man does not have to have permission in order for him to legalize his second marriage. That is the what is written. But listen, you do not have to have permission from your first wife to take a second wife, in simple words. However, that if you are going to do that, then there is going to be a lot of difficulties. You should have at least the decency of informing your first wife that, listen, I am taking a second wife and I am doing this for these reasons, and then proceed. If she, alhamdulillah, gives you your blessings, you are lucky. And you should consider yourself most fortunate and carry on. However, most of the time, because especially this is applicable to Indian Muslims, this only applies second marriage, third marriage, fourth marriage, applies mostly to Indian Muslims, not others. Others are very comfortable with this. If you just go above South Africa, into Malawi, Zambia, and you go into Congo, Tanzania, go into middle of Africa, upwards. There, the populace, they regard it as something wrong with a man if he doesn't have two wives and three. Here, we regard it as something wrong if you got two wives. So, that you do not require the permission, however, of the first wife to get married. You should inform them for the sake of cooperation and future living in harmony, peacefully.
Mufassir, we have a call online. Let's take our first call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, brother.
I want to find out if, while we are taking meals on the Dastar Khan, is it permissible to sit cross-legged?
Okay, jazakallah. Mufassir, did you get that?
Yeah, I got that. Alhamdulillah. First of all, that I am very happy that a brother is seated on the floor. We should understand something very interesting, that to sit on the floor and partake meals is sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, to sleep on the floor is not sunnah. To sleep on the bed is not against the sunnah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept on the bed. And to sleep, to at least to eat on the table, is discarding of the sunnah. Every Muslim should make every effort, constructively, seriously, to sit on the floor and eat. And after sitting on the floor for a few days, when you see the benefits and the pleasantness, and you start tasting the sweetness of Iman by following the sunnah, you will be excited and never go back to the table. Now, whilst you're on the floor, then the best method is to eat whilst in at-tahiyyat position. That's one method. Second best is to sit in a manner where you got one leg up, and on one leg you are resting your posterior on. So you can have either the right leg up, that's a second posture, or the third posture is to have the left leg up and seated on your right leg. And then the fourth posture is quite difficult, and we do not do it generally because it is quite strenuous. But those in the villages are very, very comfortable. They so-called squat. That means they got the 2 feet and they are resting comfortably on the 2 feet and they are able to eat nicely. These four methods, the ulama have stated, are very good. However, if a person cannot adopt any of those four methods and wants to sit cross-legged, obviously because of physical difficulty, physical problem, or a person is not comfortable that he cannot adopt the at-tahiyyat position for long, then we advise you start with the at-tahiyyat position, and as long as you can sit in that position, do so. After that, go into the cross-legged position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoorun rahim. He will reward, inshallah.
We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Muhammad, may I pose a question to Mufti Saab, please?
No problem.
Mufti Saab, can you hear me?
Ji,
alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab is AK, yeah?
Ji.
Mufti Saab, the masla, your advice on the following question. In the masjid, is it permissible to sit on a stool or a chair due to medical reasons, one?
Yes.
And the second part of my question is, the person who asked me to phone the question asked that he's able to sit on a chair but he's not able to go into sijda because his body becomes stiff and very, very painful. That is the first part of the question. Yes.
Okay, and have you got any other questions?
No, the second part of the question is that a youngster was sitting on a chair and he was asked to remove the stool, not the chair, the stool, right? The youngster has a prosthetic leg. Now, I feel this is not the correct thing, because how would he, if he's got a prosthetic leg, that means it's all bolts and nuts and what have you, he would not be able to go into Sijda. So at least he's going to the masjid to perform Salah with Jama'ah. And, you know, just to clarify, so for the benefit of the listeners, that, you know, people shouldn't just tell people, yes, you can and yes, you can't. They should also look at the pros and cons. This youngster's got a prosthetic leg, and ask him, why are you sitting on the chair? What is the problem? Can we help you? Can't we help you? Your advice, Muqtasar?
Okay, Jazakallah. I will advise you.
Jazakallah.
Mr. Ahmad, sir.
Ji, Muqtasar.
You wrote those stuff.
Ji.
Okay, said it.
The first question was, can a person sit on a chair?
Concerning and regarding chairs in our masajids, that as a rule understand that we have made a great disservice to Islam and the ethics and mannerism of the masajid by introduction of chairs. And we have created another avenue of unfortunately making our masajids look like the places of worship of the other denominations. We have turned our masajids, and some masajids, unfortunately, there is a large quantity of chairs being utilized, and unnecessary, undue stress is being put on utilization of the chair. To such an extent that now someone designed a chair that is so-called compatible to masjid usage. What should have been our original stand should have been that if you are incapacitated, then sit on the floor. And our masajids, alhamdulillah, have got the best carpets. Most of our masajids have got better carpeting than our own homes, alhamdulillah. They are extremely soft, comfortable. So our first course of action should be that do not use the chair, but use the floor. So the incapacitated, physically incapacitated person should utilize the floor. And if by using the floor, the person has to face his leg towards Qibla, that does not matter. Because he is not doing it willfully, purposely, voluntarily. He is doing it out because of incapacitation. However, now that the chairs are there, first of all, we should encourage the brothers to sit on the floor, failing which day you can use the chair, we'll say yes, permissible. But we have found, and you can see this, that those who are utilizing the chair, they walk around and they stand outside the masjid after the salat, especially Maghrib and Isha, for 10-15 minutes, talking of the whole world. Now, if a person can stand in salat, why must he use the chair? So, Fuqaha have written the lesson, if you can stand, you must stand as much as you can stand, and then utilize the facility of sitting. And if you can go in ruku after standing but cannot make your sijda, then sit and make a sijda by inclination, by indication at least. Now, in the case of that brother who was ill-treated, far as I am concerned, when he has got an artificial leg and they have whisked and removed the stool away, that is not a good thing to do. They should definitely have approached him, spoken to him, why is he sitting on the chair? Because if a youngster is sitting on the chair, definitely he has got a problem, physical problem. Just to forcefully remove it and to put him into a state of depression and anxiety, that is not good. He should be allowed to utilize the facility of the stool or the chair if he cannot manage sitting on the floor to perform his salat. So our imams, etc., should promote the idea that let us utilize the floor first before going on to the stool or the chair. Anything else was in those questions, Mullah?
No, nothing else, that's all. JazakAllah Mustafa for that. Going on to the next question, to remind our listeners, our lines are open at 854-1548. Cell phone number for tonight, 08-235-65988. Mufti Sahab, we have a question here in front of us. A woman says, can a woman read Salah in a cloth that have chains or belts on it?
As long as they do not start making a musical sound. That is where the question is moving towards. That, yes, if you got a garment that has got chains, belts, etc., the fear is that whilst you're changing postures, then you are going to be distracted by them clinging and sounding, by touching the chains and belts are going to touch, and they are going to make a sound distracting the person who's performing Salah. Salah will be valid, but it will be highly difficult to concentrate while you have got items on your body that are clinging and clanging together to produce certain sounds. So it is advisable, highly advisable, not to use such items in Salah that may cause any form of distraction in Salah. As it is, our salat is of very low, poor standard, and to exasperate matters and to worsen matters, to create a distraction on your body that will worsen the situation.
So for that, we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to ask the Mufti, we have a three-year-old son. If his urine touches us while washing him in the bathroom, do we have to take ghusl after that?
Okay, JazakAllah, brother, for that question.
Okay, JazakAllah, bye.
Assalamualaikum. Salam. Jee, Mufti Sahab.
This is very nice, alhamdulillah. And make dua that so far we have written a lot of topics extensively. And now we have also started preparing one book on the laws and rules and regulation for babies and immature children. We have already done that book, and sooner or later it will come onto our website, if not published physically in hard copy, where we discuss the vomit of the baby, the urine of the baby, the stool of the baby, the napkin changing, and all these laws pertaining to babies and nabalig children, and pertaining to those who wash them and those who care for them, etc. Now, in the said question, where the brother is asking, whilst they are bathing the child, and the child urinates, now if it falls upon them, they do not have to take ghusl. Understand? They do not have to take ghusl, number one. Secondly, their wuzu, if they were in the state of wuzu, that also does not break. However, that wherever the urine touched, if it touched the hand, then they must wash that area sufficiently, adequately to make it pure, make it park. And if it touched the clothing, then they should wash that part of the clothing. For example, that the child urinated on the sleeve of your kurta or your shirt, then you do not have to now wash the entire shirt. You have to wash the sleeve sufficiently, adequately, wash it three times minimum, so that you drain out all the urine that was there, and then inshallah when it dries, it is park, it is pure. When it dries, that's good. If it doesn't dry, it's wet, you still can go perform salat in it. But for example, now it touches your trousers, so the area where the urine fell, you have to wash that area adequately, sufficiently, through that to make it pure. But you do not have to make ghusl, you do not have to make wuzu if you had wuzu. Wuzu, it does not break it.
Jazakumullah Mufti. We have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji apa?
Ji, this can help me. I'm one of the new recipients. And every time I go to Sishka, this has been happening since Thursday. Then I see a picture of people going to Sishka and they do it in front of the Kaaba. And then from Sunday and Monday and even today, when I walk around, I see the people, the soft people walking around making the tawaf of the Kaaba. What do I need to do?
Sorry, do you see this in your dream or?
It's a dream. It happens, like I see it when I read my salam.
Oh, it's in your salah?
Si.
So why are you performing salah, is it?
It happens while I'm performing salah.
Then what do you see?
I see from Thursday night to Saturday, when I perform salah, when I go to Sishka, I also see pictures of people going up and down to Sishka in front of the Kaaba.
Okay.
But now, on Sunday, Monday, and today, when I perform salah, I see the people walking around making tawaf of the Kaaba. So what do I need to do?
Okay, JazakAllah, sister, for that. Jee Muftisab, did you get that?
No, I never get anything.
The sister says when she's performing salah, she normally tends to see, I don't know if it's a vision or what, she normally tends to see people going to sajda in front of the Kaaba. And when she goes into sajda, then she sees visions of people making tawaf of the Kaaba. What must she do? What sign is this?
First of all, that she should just make a proper wuzu and be careful not to make a haphazard wuzu before making salah. And he should not regard these visions that he is getting in salat as a state of piety or righteousness. If he repeatedly gets these visions, then it could indicate that inshallah, if he has not performed Hajj, he will inshallah go to perform Hajj sooner or later in her lifetime. Fourthly, that he should embark on reciting at least the manzil, and if she does not know what's the manzil, then at least recite the last two surahs of Quran Kareem and Ayatul Kursi and blow on the water and drink as often as possible and not allow these visions to take control of her life. She should also not endeavor to close her eyes whilst performing salat, which I presume and strongly feel she is doing that. She should focus upon what she is reciting, and also she should focus on the meaning of what is being recited, and this should be done open-eyed in salat.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. We have a question here in front of us. A person says, we would like to know what is a shari'i ruling regarding the burning of Luban.
If you want to burn a Luban non-specifically for no reason but to create a fragrance in your home, it is absolutely permissible. But the difficulty arises around Luban is when people feel that they have to burn Luban at a given set time. Some say no, after Maghrib you have to do it. Some say no, that after Isha we have to do it. Some say no, after Fajr we have to do it. So to peg a time will make it into an innovation. Some say no, come Friday, Thursday after Maghrib, then we must burn the Luban. That also is pegging the time of an action which is completely permissible. Because of pegging a time, specifying what is not specified, regulating what is not regulated, that makes it into an innovation. And however, that which we are supposed to be doing, we are not doing. And that is, every listener should encourage their husbands, and every trustee should listen that on Jummah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that perfume your masajid. This we are not doing. In certain masajids I went to, alhamdulillah, every salat, there are those around who are applying perfume to those who come for salah. But on Fridays, this should be done. The loban should be burned, and a fragrance should emanate from the masjids, so that people who come there feel nice and are received cordially. Alhamdulillah, now we have seen in certain places, and I've seen in Kempton Park, Jamaat Khana also, that this practice of reviving the sunnah of putting perfume on Fridays on the masjid has been revived. So every masjid should take it seriously and revise the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and attain the reward of 100 martyrs as specified, as mentioned in the hadith.
Ji Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that. We have one last caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can I put my question to the Mufti?
Ji, Appa.
Assalamu alaikum Mufti. I would like to know, when a woman visits a gynecologist and she returns home to read her namaz, does she have to perform a full ghusl or just make wudu? The other question is, I would like to know, why am I in sajda? Are we supposed to raise the elbows slightly off the floor, or like some ulama say, we should keep the body together, flat on the floor? Jazakallah, I will listen off air.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum. Jim, did you get that?
The latter part of the first question, the lady went to a gynecologist, and then?
If she comes back, must she take a full ghusl?
Now, second part of the question first, and then inshallah the first part of the question. Second part, that you should, the female asking the question, their sijda is different from our sijda. They should put the whole hand, elbow on the floor and make the sijda. And there is one group who says that the men's salat and female salat, there is no difference. That group is erroneous and not on the correct path. And Darul Azadwal has taken out a nice kitab. It is called Correct Your Salah. In that book, and they have taken out another book called The Salat of Women. In those books, details have been given and substantiated adequately from relevant hadith that the salat of the woman is different from the salat of men. And therein it is clearly elaborated and elucidated to minute details that the posture, sijda posture of the females should be close, like how she used the word, that it should be close, compact. So the sijda will be for the woman compact, closed, with the hand and the elbow touching the floor completely. When the person went to the doctor and the doctor examined, and there was any gel or anything inserted there and removed, then that will break the wuzu. In all cases, it will be best to make the wuzu after visiting such a doctor. And if there was just a dry examination, absolutely dry examination, then the wuzu will not break. 9 out of 10 times there is a wet examination, and that wet examination inevitably will break the wuzu, and the person should make wuzu again.
JazakumAllah Mufassab for that. I think that ends our program for today, Mufassab. Before we leave, just some nasiha from your side, Mufassab.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. What I would like to comment about today is that alhamdulillah in our country a lot of projects are taking place, and we as Muslims should concentrate on local projects and also support those that are coming from outside. What I try to say that sometimes we focus too much outside instead of supporting local projects, and local projects should be given preference to to those projects that we cannot see, supervise, and we do not in reality know what is happening to our money. But the local projects we can supervise, we know what is happening to our masajids and the madaris and the darulums and the various institutes. We should put our money and finances onto local projects so that we can at any given time go and see the progress, stability, and the thrust and the activity of the local projects. Many a times, unfortunately, we have got a tendency of doing work outside and not realizing that outside, at times, it requires attention, but we got no control over it. And everybody should be encouraged to support local projects. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to do the local projects. Also, I've got a small appeal to the listeners of Radio Islam that many years ago, I did a project or a series of lectures called What Your Belief Should Be. There were 42 lessons of 20 minutes each. And then there was a program on the Days of Ignorance, 6 hours. But I have lost my master copy. And if anybody has got these tapes, they have our beliefs, lesson 1, lesson 2, up to lesson 42, about what a Muslim should believe in, should bring it to the radio station, allow them to make a copy, and then inshallah phone us and get in contact with us that we have sent a copy to Radio Islam. Because they have moved premises somewhere along the line, it has been misplaced, and I would like to recover it so that I can put it on my website for everybody to take benefit from. Jazakallah, Mawlana Muhammad.
Jazakallah, Mufti. Make dua for us as well.
You too, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.